Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Rick Name My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart's apart. On Rick Name My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen online at any podcast distributor. I'm on Spotify, iTunes, whatever podcast outlet you have, being Reconnect My Heart, and you'll be able to hear us. Also, in case you want to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart, type in reconnectmyheartpodcast.com and you see me. I hope that you all had a great day. I hope that I know for those that are in Texas, it's been hot, and I hope that you've been keeping yourself hydrated and being careful. Good. Got my water. Got my hand of water. Excuse me 1 second. Yes, so I hope y'all had a great day. Hope that, like I said, y'all being safe. Today's episode actually kind of came from last week while I was on the air. I thought about some of the things that was on my mind. I began to start seeing how God worked. I started seeing God move in some areas in my life and so many other people's lives. And I felt to have this episode just to share with you all. So many people, they've heard throughout time, they've heard God move people's lives. They believe that God can do it for so many other people. but they fail to acknowledge or even feel or think that God can do it for them. And so today I want to share with you all some stories. I want to give you some testimonies as well as give you some encouragement on the power of God, what he can do, and so much more in the episode called God's Mighty Power. God's Mighty Power. One of the things as a kid, I began to think about all the stories, and I grew up in church. I've heard so many stories in my life how God moved, and of course, going to church, you're hearing the stories, you're hearing Bible verses and all these things. And then also growing up in a time, because I'm a 70s kid, growing up in a time where you had the praying mothers. You had the praying mothers that, hey, they know you at church, but they don't live with you at home. And all of a sudden, the praying mothers, they begin to start being in prayer at church. And all of a sudden, in prayer, they get up and they start telling you some things that only God can reveal. I've seen where some of the mothers would tell, hey, baby, you need to go over here, you need to go over there, or you need to not do this, you need to not do that, because there's something God is bringing to my spirit to let me know you don't need to do that. And as soon as you don't do it, come to find out, wow, that they saved your life, or they could have prevented you from doing something or making some bad decision. I've seen those things growing up. But unfortunately, many people this day and time, they feel like, oh, that's old folky, or that happened back then. But the same God moved then can move now. The problem, it ain't God. It ain't God's word. It's us. Oftentimes, we're not in a position because God is communicating with us, but we miss it. Sometimes God communicates with us and we dismiss it. So many times God may try to talk to us and we belittle, or we say, well, you know, it's okay, that I might just be going crazy. And all of a sudden, you hear people say, I should have followed my first mind. Well, oftentimes God is always trying to forewarn you about things. The Bible tells us that warning comes before destruction. And what I found out, oftentimes God will try to nudge on our spirit to let us know things so that way we can prevent things. But it takes us to be in a position for us to recognize God's voice and respond in obedience. The Bible tells us that my sheep know my voice. But also, it's so important for us to understand God's voice, God's verbiage, God's nature. We have to understand that, because we're living in a time that the devil ain't playing. The devil never been playing, but we play. And also, years ago, when I began to really start studying the Bible, and this was before, I say it like this, I'm not going to say before I accept my calling. I always say before I made my calling public. See, the reason why I said that, because I accepted my calling as a kid. I accepted my calling. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I was maybe in 6 or 7 years old. But I didn't know what God was going to do through me, but I just knew that it was something. And I told him I accepted. But years ago, I made my calling public. I acknowledged my calling to the masses. I made my calling public to the people that was in my family, to my church, and to those that are close to me. But what I found out, even in the midst of me accepting my calling, so many people felt like, well, you know, before I accepted it, well, you know, you doing all that studying, are you a preacher? I said, well, we supposed to study. All of us as believers, regardless if we in the pulpit or not in the pulpit, we all need to study, because we're fighting the same devil. You know, think about it. As a believer, when you don't study God's word, when you don't study or be before the Lord, you're doing yourself a disservice, because you need to have the artillery to fight the devil. But also you need to know what you supposed to have as your benefit as well as your weapon. The Bible tells us that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. There are words that God has for us, but oftentimes what happens, we don't recognize it, and we end up missing or misusing or quoting scriptures out of context because we don't know the word of God in its proper use. And so it's so important for us to know God, know God's word, know his nature, his character, so that way we can properly use his word in proper context. One thing that I always say, the word of God alone will not win battles. It's the word of God in its proper use that's going to win battles. See, if you're sick, let's just say you have a cold. If you have a cold, you think heart medicine going to do you? You think natural glycerin going to help you? No. Yes, that medicine will work, but that's not your condition. And so when we learn the word of God in its proper use, then we can put it in its proper context for us to see the results that God said that we can have. So it's so important for us to use the word of God in its proper use. And so, like I said, to look at, whoa, well, this thing that the devil is doing, the devil is fighting. Because what I found out, there's no division in Satan's kingdom. They are almost like working a cohesive unit. They're working together to attack you, to attack me. They're going against, they're fighting day and night. But if the devil is fighting, and he know, get this, the devil knows God's word. He just don't obey it. You know, so that's why it's so important for us to know God and know God's word. Also, let me tell you something. Even the devil knows God's word good enough to use keywords and take keywords out of the scriptures to deceive us. That's why it's important, not just pertaining to the devil, but that's why it's so important for us to know God's word, because sometimes some people, they may have good intentions, but they end up misquoting some scripture, or they tell us some scripture out of context, and we end up, hey, receiving something that God did not authorize. There are some people God sends, but then there are other people that the devil sends. Or there may be people that God send, but then there may be other people that send themselves. That's why it's so important for us to discern, know God's word, know God's nature, and know that whenever somebody may come and they tell us something, if there's no peace of God, if God does not give you the confirmation, then, hey, you may need to examine that. Because oftentimes what happens, some people may come to us not because of there's a word of God, but because there's some knowledge that they have picked up that they just want to share with you that's totally outside of God's nature or God's will for you. It's just like me going up to somebody, hey, man, that's your wife. I better not say that. If God won't tell you that, why should I tell you that? Or why should somebody else tell you that? So many times we end up, I don't want to get off the subject, but so many times we end up worshiping man instead of worshiping God. And we're following man instead of following God. And God is here telling us, hey, look here, I got the answer that you need, but you're looking at them and not me. And so with that, it's so important for us to know God for ourselves. I'm telling you, if you really sincere about knowing God and developing that relationship with him, I'm telling you from personal experience, not only he can do it, but he want to do it. He want an intimate relationship with you. Now, with that being said, some of the stories I share with you, I remember as a kid, I remember hearing about Nebuchadnezzar having a dream, and he couldn't find anybody to interpret the dream. And so what he did, he was looking for someone to not only interpret the dream, but tell him the dream itself. And what happened, Joseph, who was wrongly convicted, he was in a prison, and eventually word got out that the king was looking for someone to interpret the dream as well as reveal dream. And so what happened? Joseph got out and was sent to the king. And not only did Joseph tell him the interpretation of the dream, but also Joseph told him the dream, and it was spot on. See, that's what we would call word of knowledge. See, oftentimes what happened, God has different gifts for his people. Also, we do have to say, God has invested at least one gift in all of us. The Bible tells us that gift and callings come without repentance. And so there are some people, unfortunately, there are some gifted people, but they have misused their gift, or they're using their gifts not in the body of Christ, not in the kingdom, not in God's kingdom, but their own purpose or agenda. But what I found out, yes, you may have that gift, but in order for it to be effective, you have to submit to God and obey him, allow it to flourish. And so with that, when I heard that story when I was a kid, I said, God, I want that. I want that because to me, I was already kind of what I was told, a different kid. And I would have dreams. I would have thoughts, ideas. I was what they would call artistic. And artistic meaning very skillful pertaining to artistry, if it's writing a poem, if it's I love colors. As y'all can tell, I love colors. I love colors. Even with music, me being a musician also, I love colors. And when I hear music, when I hear sounds, I associate it with colors. So for those that know me, hey, I love colors. It ain't anything bad or negative. I just love colors, you know. But colors represent a lot of things for me and to me. And sometimes when I hear sounds, like I said, I associate it with colors. There are some numbers I associate with colors, but also I love the sense of smell. Fragrances always, to me, it has an aroma or some type of color that's associated to me, in my interpretation, for me. So for me to be able to think about and saying, God, I want that. I want that. And then to have the dreams growing up. One of the things I was always having a dream about, and it always scared me, I had a dream of falling. I had a dream of falling. And I heard oftentimes as a kid, well, you know, when you have a dream of falling, if you hit the ground, you're going to die. But whenever I had the dream, I would always, oh my gosh, I would always be fearful because I would see myself falling. And then later on, I began to have dreams about flying, and not just flying with wings. No, I could be outside or I could be in the house, and all of a sudden I'd be hoisted up in the air. And it would scare me badly, especially if I'm outside and the wind blow and it just hoists me up. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm going way up in the sky, way up in the sky. And I never understood what that meant until one day God began to tell me, hey, the next time you have those dreams about floating up in the air, don't be afraid. You're scared because you're looking down on the ground and you're looking at what you're leaving. But he said, from now on, don't look down from where you're leaving. Look up to where you're going. So I'm like, okay. He says, so what the devil trying to do, the devil trying to invoke fear into you. And I found that if you want to scare somebody, if you want to discourage someone from pursuing their dream or elevating, place fear. See, the devil can always try to place fear to make you doubt, to make you question. So I was like, okay, God, I see. So from now on, whenever I'm being hoisted up in the air, don't look down, look up. I'm like, okay. And I did not have that kind of dream for years. I'm like, wow. And so finally, I begin to have that dream. And so as I'm dreaming, I'm remembering lying down sleep. And all of a sudden, I'm being hoisted up in the air. And for a second, I forgot about looking up. And so I began to look down. I'm like, oh, my God. And all it was like God said, hey, look up. And I looked up, and I'm seeing myself getting closer to the sky. I'm like, oh, okay, that heaviness, that fear, that anxiety, that everything that pertains to fear and anxiety and weight, it left. And there was a peace as I was being hoisted up in the air. I'm like, wow, okay. And so with that let me know, first of all, I received it. But then also for me to share with y'all that dream was letting me know that God want to elevate. And so just like you, there may be some people that may be watching that may have had those kind of dreams that, oh, my gosh, I don't know what it means. Well, if you start floating, if you start flying, don't fear and don't look down, look up, because there are some areas in your life. It may be spiritually, it may be emotionally, it may be mentally, it may be all of the above, but God is trying to elevate you and promote you, but you first have to receive it. If you receive it, then you can conceive it. But if you don't conceive it, the devil will try to make you be deceived, to make you think that you're not good enough. It will never happen to you. No, receive, but don't receive that deception that the devil is trying to do. Also, for you to understand that when those times come, those are God's opportunities to have a conversation with you. I found out God want to have a conversation with you because God trying to take you to a higher realm, not just a higher level, but a higher realm, because there are more realms. The realms are a higher elevation than steps or levels. So God trying to catapult you, and he needs your cooperation. How can you give him your cooperation? Through your obedience. Obey him in the level of where you're at and begin to pursue him and study his word and study his character. Spend quality time for you to be able to recognize his voice and his word. See, in that, when we begin to be elevated, of course, the devil gonna try everything possible to create the atmosphere of worry, of stress, of fear, of doubt, all these things. But just know that it's almost like you cracking the code or you breaking the ceiling to that next realm. That's the way to look at it. And so with that, another thing that God began to show me, and this was something, this is not a dream, but this was something, and I wanted to share with y'all some of the testimonies and some of the things that God did so that way you'll know what he can do, especially pertaining to certain gifts, like I said, like the word of knowledge, a prophetic word, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is like being able to have detailed instructions to be able to accomplish a certain thing. Detail. Think about when Noah built the ark. Noah was not a professional boat builder, but he took specific instructions from God to create something for something that never existed. And so he had to hear God completely, because you think about it, with the tools that he had, he took specific instructions from God and obeyed it to the letter. But just imagine if he was one nail short, he would have been disobedient to God. But I found out we can't categorize obedience or disobedience to God. It's all or nothing. It's just like being a little pregnant. Either you're a little pregnant, either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. So let's just say if there's a big bowl of cereal that you have, but if there's a smidgen of rat droppings fall off in there, are you just going to eat around that cereal? No. What happened, that rat dropping has contaminated the whole bowl. So that's why it's so important for us to obey God in its entirety. But as a kid, what happened was one of the stories I'll share with y'all. There was someone that I needed to call. And this is years ago when I was a kid. There was someone I needed to call. There was someone I needed to call. I called their number, and they changed their number. And they did not provide the new number. And so what happened, I picked up the phone, and I just heard these numbers. It was like, at the time, I didn't know. So I just randomly dialed this number that was in my head. Well, guess what? It was that person number that I called earlier, that the number was, you know, it was changed, and they did not provide the new number. Well, guess what? God provided the new number for me. And when I called, I was like, hello, is this so-and-so? Yeah, how you get my number? Oh, well, God gave it to me. You know, I'm serious. God would do these things. You know, one of the stories that my family knows, a lot of people that know, that's in my family, they know the story of I was 6 years old, and I was getting ready to eat. And right before I was getting ready to eat, I stood on top of a chair. My mom was pregnant. I was a kid, so I don't know the months or whatever like that, how many months she was pregnant or whatever. But I stood on top of the chair, and I said, oh, I forgot to tell you. And I remember the calendar, and I told her that she's going to have her baby on Thursday, January the 31st. It's going to be about 2:30. And he's going to be a boy. He's going to be kind of bright-skinned with good curly hair. And that's all I remember. And I just started back eating. And to me, it was very real. That's what I remember. So, hey, no big deal. Because that's what I heard. And so I told my mom. Well, didn't think anything of it. But I remember it was a particular day that my dad picked up me and my sister Sheila from elementary school. And he said, well, I took your mom to the doctor. She just had the baby. And I looked. It was Thursday, January the 31st. But my little brother was not born at 2:30. He was born at 2:31. He was born at 2:31, and he was, you know, bright complected, curly hair, exactly how I saw it, exactly how I saw him. And so with that was, now that what I had saw before he actually came out, that was a prophetic word that God gave me when I was 6 years old. And so, long story short, kind of jumping, but when I really started talking to God and I told him to help me and clean me and cleanse me from the things that was unlike him, and I wanted him to help me to be closer to him and know him, he told me that he was going to refer me back to who I was when I was 6 years old. And I was like 6 years old, and he reminded me of that story. So I said, okay. And then also, another story was my son's mother was pregnant, and she went to the doctor and for a checkup, and I was at work, and she called me and told me that they were going to admit her and take the baby out. And so I left work flying like a bat out of Chicago. I was in rush hour traffic, and I'm up here praying, God, help Dylan. God, take Dylan. God, protect his mother, blah, 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 blah. I'm up here praying and driving and bobbing and weaving in traffic. And God told me, stop praying, saying his name. But start praying, saying the meaning of his name. Talk about my son. And so as I began to start praying, I said, God, you are faithful to your word, because the word Dylan, D-I-L-L-O-N, that particular spelling means faithful. So I began to start saying, God, you are faithful to your word. And then his middle name, Nathaniel, means gift of God. And so I began to say, God, you are faithful to your word. When you give gifts, you don't give damaged goods. God, we're speaking, God, for deliverance, for healing, for wholeness. God, help him, God, to fulfill the purpose and plan you have for him in his life. And I was praying for his mom, and all of a sudden, all of this as I'm driving, God showed me a vision. God showed me an open vision, and like I said, my son was not born yet. I didn't know how he was going to look. And at the time, I believe that when she went to the doctor, she was maybe right at 6 months, or maybe right at 6 months, maybe right at the 6 months, 6 months or 7 months, one or the other. Excuse me. So all of a sudden, God showed me a vision and showed me a vision of this tall boy. And he was maybe a little bit brighter than me, just a little tad brighter. And he was, you know, kind of strong looking. And I'm like, who is that? God said, that's your son. I'm like, what? I'm looking. I'm like, wow. That was before he came out. Well, fast forward. He was born right at the 8th month. They took him out and everything. They said, you know, he had some complications growing up. And his mom used to always say, yeah, because he had a rough ride don't mean he going to have a free ride. I don't know if she watching this or not. But hopefully she ain't. No, she was wrong. She tried to give that boy as many free rides as she could. Hey, but don't tell her I said that. I ain't the one to gossip. And I'm going to know if one of y'all told her, because if she see me, she going to hit me. That means one of y'all ratted out on me. But I digress. But God showed me this open vision of how he was going to look. And I'll never forget. And even though he had some complications when he was first born, he was on oxygen the first 6 months of his life. He was in the NICU department for a couple of months. All these things, we had to go and visit him. We couldn't take him home immediately. He was born 3 pounds, 3.5 ounces, 17 and a half inches. So we had to help get him some weight. We had to help get some weight on him, you know. And so, as I began to start looking at that, I'm like, whoa, man. Oh, wow. But God, I remember what you showed me. And here it is, 18 years later, God began to start manifesting himself where he looks just like the image and the vision that God showed me. And so I'm saying all that to say this. God will share with you some things, but he has to trust you with those gifts. And one of the things I believe that God is sharing with us, he want to trust us. But one of the things that will help us to gain God's trust in this area, other than, of course, obedience and stuff. But one of the things I found out, God can trust us with our friends. That's no big deal. But he'll monitor us based on how we treat our enemies. That's why it's so important for us to forgive. God, forgive me. I didn't mention that earlier. But God wants us to forgive. Forgive and repent. Forgiveness and repentance. Forgive, it cleanses our spirit, man. Repentance, so that way if there's anything we've done that was unlike God, hey, do like David. Repent immediately and don't do it again. It shouldn't look, don't be hard headed when it comes down to God's and your relationship with God. Don't be hard headed. Why be hard headed? The longer you hard headed, the more you're missing out on peace, of the blessings, whatever. Look, some people, it may be cute. Well, you know, I'm just going to do whatever. It ain't worth it. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Obey God. Trust God. And allow him to trust you. Oftentimes, we always say, oh, God, I'm waiting on you. God, I trust you. I trust you. Yeah, but God, can God trust you? And so with that, as I begin to start seeing my son groomed and grow up to the man that God has for him to be and the man that God showed, I'm like, wow. And so I'm telling you, God can do the impossible, but he want to do it. Get this. God want to do the impossible, and he want to do it not just for you, but he want to do it through you. God, look, there is nothing too hard for God. We always say this verse, all things are possible for them that believe. God is a God that doesn't change. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God not only want to work in us, but he want to work through us. I'm telling you, he can do it. Look here. This right here, if y'all want to know another miracle, me being up on here right now. You see this? Those that know me, look here. I don't know why I'm on here. At first, I'm thinking, look here, God. I was like Moses. Look here, God. I can't talk. God, there are other people that's better qualified than me. But he said, no, I chose you. Don't you know God may have chosen you for a particular assignment or a task? But my question is, why are you doubting yourself? Why are you preventing yourself from missing your life's purpose, your ultimate purpose? Of course, I mean, your ultimate purpose is, you know, to go back to be with the Lord. Yes, that's fine and dandy. Yes. But I'm talking about here on earth. There is a task. There is an assignment that God has for you. There are some things that God has for you, and he wants you to be obedient to the plan that he has for you. Look here, I tell people all the time, it ain't worth it. You know, missing out on what God has for you, missing out because, you know, you're listening to the devil instead of listening to God. Don't let the devil make you miss your blessing. Don't let the devil make you miss your life's purpose. Don't you know, one of the things I found out, what's beautiful is when your purpose meet your reality. The devil trying so badly to bring interference to make us miss our life's purpose and goal. The devil trying so badly to make us miss it. But we should not allow him to make us miss what God and who God has for us to be. One of the things I always say, the devil not worried about what he can make you do, because you can do something one time and repent, be sorry, never do it again. But he's not worried about what he can make you do. He's more concerned about what he can make you become. If you become it, it's part of your character. So if you steal something one time, you know, never do it again, okay, that's it. But if you become a thief, that means any opportunity that you can see, you'll gravitate to that, an opportunity. And see, what I found there, some people, they'll steal, they'll plot, and look here, it's not even their possession yet, but they're calculating. Some people, they'll try to earn your trust to be deceptive. to deceive you, to ultimately get what they want. Being a thief is part of their character. Deception is part of their character. And so right now the devil is trying to do some character defining or character refining to make you miss and to change you from the person that God created you to be. So with that, God, he wants to work through you. But don't doubt what God can do through you. Yeah, and I don't care about you've had a past. Yeah, you might have made some mistakes. Yeah, we've all made some mistakes. But like I said, like David, if God can forgive David, if God can forgive David, if God can forgive, if God can forgive Saul, I'm talking about the Saul that converted to become Paul. If God can forgive Saul that was credited for having Stephen killed, and look at Saul after he converted and changed himself to Paul. He changed his name to Paul and became a great New Testament writer. If God can change them, he can change you. But you can't allow your past to dictate your present. You can't allow your past to dictate your future. You have to look at yourself and say, you know what? The same God that moved for those people that's in the Old Testament and the New Testament can convert to have it to be a new me. God can do it through you. But like I said, you have to trust God and know that God can do anything and everything. And, you know, like I said, I like sharing the stories of these miraculous things that God can do. Matter of fact, one more. This happened some time ago. I was invited. I think I spoke about this. I was invited to a program, and I left my church. The program was supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, like, let's say like 3:30 on a Sunday. And I didn't have the address. I just had the name of the church. So I left my church in South Dallas, Pleasant Grove. I went to Pleasant Grove following the GPS that when I looked at the church, it gave me that particular address. So I'm up here. I drove. It took me forever to try to find the particular address. And I finally found it. And when I pulled up, it was an abandoned building. It was an old nursery. So I'm like, well, daycare, old daycare. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, shucks. And so what I started doing, I started asking God, do I need to go back home? Because I don't have the address. I don't know where this church is. And it hit me. God, if it's intended for me to make it to that service, God, I need you to guide me to that church. Because I don't know where it is, but you know where it is. So I need you to guide me. And all of a sudden, I heard the voice of God say, go back to your church. And I went back to the church, and God just said, now, I need you to turn this way. I'm up here driving. Remember this. I have no natural GPS system, but I had a heavenly GPS that God himself was guiding and directing me to a place I'd never been before. And so as I began to start driving, he said, okay, to turn left. I turned left, and was driving, and then he said, okay, now you turn on Bonneview. I turned on Bonneview. No, I'm sorry, that's Overton Road. I turned on Overton Road. And I saw a driver. He said, okay, turn. Now you finna get on Bonneview. I turned on Bonneview. He said, now get back on Overton Road. I started getting back on Overton Road. I'm driving and driving and driving, and I end up passing by my daddy's old house. He said, keep on driving. Like I said, I've never been to this church before, and I don't know anything about these streets. I'm just used to going to my daddy, and sometimes I'll go blindly. I just go. But this particular way, like I said, I don't know anything about the roads or anything like that, the building, so I'm just driving. And so after I passed my daddy's house, I just began to start driving. And all of a sudden, the street curved. And as the street curved, all of a sudden, I got my hand off the steering wheel, and the steering wheel start spinning more to the left, and it ended up going up to this lot. And I looked, and right on top of the lot, right on top of the hill, it was a small church. And I looked, and there was a small sign at that small church. And I looked at that sign, and it was the exact church that I needed to be at. I said, wow. But I saw some people coming out. I was like, God, I know you didn't send me over here for me to miss church. So I said, hey, is church out? They said, no, it's still going on. We got started late. I said, Lord, thank you. So I said all that to say this. God can do this. It looked like it's a miracle. It looked like, wow, how did that happen? Look, these are God's signs and wonders and proof that he's real. He exists. And there was a ministry that needed to take place there. But I said all this stuff because God can do it. God want to do it through you. I'm no different than anybody else. The same God that moved in me can move in you. But that's why I was telling God, I said, God, I need you to show yourself strong. I need you to, you know, reveal yourself. But see, we got to have these conversations. We got to have this intimate time with God. Also, this is something else I'll share with y'all. When I talk to God, let's just say if I'm going to go somewhere, I always ask God, God, what do you want me to wear? I give God the responsibility to tell me what I need to wear. And like I said, I know some people, but that's kind of overboard. No, it's not. Because God know what you need to wear. God may be having something planned out for you to wear to catch somebody's attention for them to know that he's real. You never know. I'm telling you, what you need to start doing is allowing God to be accessible, or allow God and invite God in every area of your life. But also, the Bible tells us, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he shall direct our path or make that pathway straight. So consult God about everything. Everything. I'm telling you, when you consult God about everything, you can see him move in every way. Every way possible. But talk to him. Communicate with him. Consult with him about everything. And that gives him the responsibility to make a way, not you. That gives him the responsibility. So as you begin to start pursuing God, talking to him, consult with him. I'm telling you, have a conversation with him. Also, what's going to happen is even when you have these dreams, even when you have these open visions, write them down. Write them down and ask him, what does this mean? Ask him what you're doing is when you begin to start writing things down, you're showing him that you're taking the conversation he has with you seriously. Think about this. Let's just say if somebody talking to you and they're like, you right there, they're like, yeah, go ahead, keep going. Oh, I hear you. You turning your face the opposite direction, but you're saying you hear them. No, you want them to give you your undivided attention. You want them to give you their undivided attention. You want to make sure, hey, I'm looking at you eye to eye. I need to know, hey, I want you to hear. Oh, look, I want you to hear what I'm saying, but I want you to hear what I'm not saying. Well, same thing how God may be looking for you pertaining to your relationship and your conversation with him. Your verbal conversation, your nonverbal conversations. The conversation that he give you when you're up, or the conversation he give you in your dreams. Are you taking them seriously? You have to. So with that, knowing that God want to move in every area of your life, but also you can't discount what God can do. You can't discount it. Quit and see what I found out. What's going to really help us also, we begin to start asking God, help me to have your mindset. Help me to have and look at things from your perspective. I'm telling you, when you begin to start seeing things and seeing people through the lens of God, God will not just show you who they are, but sometimes God will reveal to you the source of whatever situation that may be going on in their life. And so it's so important for us to be able to really just take the time to consult with God, listen to God, and respond in obedience. Obedience is key. Obedience, praying, talking to God. When I'm saying talking to God, that means talking to God without selfishness, without being selfish. Being selfless in our communication with God. Because what happened, if we look at things and we look at people, we're sitting in the hell. But oftentimes, God will be showing us their hurt. God will be showing us, there's a need that needs to be met. And see, what I found out, how to say it, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. God will use your enemies to bless you. God will use your enemies to fund whatever thing that he has for you to do. But see, what I found out, oftentimes we get so discouraged because it's not certain people that don't help us, that don't bless us. As long as you do what God have you do, it's not your responsibility to figure out who's going to bless you. It's his responsibility. The scripture I always think about, when the 10 lepers were greeted and was told, hey, go show yourself to the priest. And what was the next words after that? And they were healed as they went. In other words, as they began to step forth, there was a process of healing that was taking place. The more the progress of the movements or the walk was, the more the progress of the healing that was taking place. They were healed as they went. So the same thing with you. Are you being renewed as you go? Are you being healed as you went? Are you being, look, are you being understood? Are you begin to have that trust develop, cultivated in your relationship with God or even in God's relationship with you? I'm telling you, God can do beyond what we can ask or think. God can do more. That can even be in our, what Daddy would say, in our little mind. In our little mind. God can do it. And he can do it. And he want to do it for you. God's mighty power. God want to come in and flex his muscle on your behalf and for your behalf. But I'm telling you, God, if you trust God, if you listen to God, he will definitely give you some nuggets that's going to bless you, that's going to blow your mind. God going to give you some nuggets that will change your life. You know, all it takes if you to sit down and really just talk to God, God, I don't know what I need to do, but God, you tell me. I'm telling you, God will answer you, but you got to be prepared for the answer that he gives you. Look here. Matter of fact, I'm sure this with you. I'm thinking about a lot of the different stories, and forgive me, I should have wrote them down, but I was thinking about some of the stories so that way you'll see, because there are some people, oh, well, that'll never happen. Now, I'm telling you, in case you want to know somebody that God moved for, here I am. Oh, I say, here I is. Yeah, God can do it, and he want to do it for you, and he want to do it through you. At the time I was with my son's mother, there was a particular apartment that we wanted, a particular apartment. And so what God had me to do, God had me to, you know, for us to get together, and we got on the grounds and we began to start praying, and we believed that we were going to receive it. And it was two sides of the apartment. The first one, it was ugly. But the second side, it was for those that were, you know, living in the back, you could look on the porch and you see a beautiful lake view. Oh, my gosh, it was awesome. And so God woke me up one Wednesday morning and told me to go to the office. And I went, and they said, well, we have a two-bedroom, one bath. We want a two-bedroom, two-bathroom. And so we looked, well, they don't have one available. I said, can you check one more time? We don't have one available. Oh, wait a minute. On the last sheet, right towards the bottom, they got one. And kind of found out, no, it wasn't good. But when I saw that, Lakeview, I went to the back of the apartments. I looked, and God just said, look at that door right there. There was an apartment door that was had a different door than all the rest of the doors. I said, God, I want that one. That was the second floor. I want that one. And so what I did, I went on, and the next Wednesday, I went to the apartment office, and all of a sudden, I asked them to look. Well, we don't have an opening. I said, can you look one more time? Well, I'll check and see. We don't, wait a minute. Here it is. We got one. But they just put in their notice. Get this. They just put in their notice, so they're going to be leaving in about a couple of weeks, a couple of days, however long it was. I said, okay, can I have the door number, because I want to check and see what it is. And so I got the room number, and I looked, and oh my gosh, that door, that particular door I was looking at that was different than all the other doors, they were moving out. And guess what? When they moved out, after everything was clean, we moved in. I'm telling you what God can do. God can blow your mind, but you got to allow him to. God can do more than you can think about. He can do beyond what you think. So what you have to do, you have to trust God and obey him in every area of your life, and know that he has your best interest at heart. Know that he can do it. I'm telling you, God can blow your mind, but don't shortchange what God can do. Don't allow disobedience, don't allow fear, don't allow doubt to make you miss what God want to do through you. And so with that being said, yes, I want you to be encouraged that God wants you to have that ultimate and that intimate relationship with him. Spend some quality time in knowing and learning the voice of God. But also for you to be able to just sit back and just allow God to come in and bring some healing to your heart. Because what I found out, like I said earlier, about the devil trying to use fear, the devil try to use doubt, the devil try to use worry, but also the devil try to use unforgiveness and try to make you have hurt, or make you use hurt to make you miss who and what God has for you. You can't allow that. In other words, you can't allow the devil to win in your life when you're trying to be victorious in your life. Allow God access to come in and bring healing. Don't doubt. Don't question. Well, but I'm not good enough. Yes, you are good enough. That's why God allowed you to listen to this podcast right now. God wants you to trust him with the broken pieces in your life. God wants you to trust him in every area of your life. God wants you to trust him, not just for your healing, but for your wholeness. Allowing him to come in and bring healing to your life, and knowing that he can do it, and it don't take him long. Just in case you've been watching and you're not saved, in case you want to know what it takes to be saved, Romans 10:9 tells us that thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and believe, excuse me, Romans 10:9, thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, and believe in the heart that God will raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I know a lot of times we talk about those who are unsaved, which does exist. There are some people that are saved, but they may need to be, they may need some reviving. They might be spiritually fatigued. They might be burnt out for a variety of reasons. But also there's a group of people I do want to acknowledge. Like I said, we acknowledge the unsaved, we acknowledge the saved. But a lot of times there's these group of people, they go unannounced. And those people are the peakers, the people that are called seekers. They know that there's a higher power, but they don't know which religion is right. They've heard about this. They heard about that. They don't know what to do. They're so confused, and they want to know God for themselves. I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Yes, he was born of a Virgin Mary, and his sins that he carried on a cross, it carried our sins to the cross. Those were our sins that he carried to the cross. Not just those that were alive during the time of his existence on earth, but even current. And so I want to encourage you. Yes, those who may be seekers, those who may not know, I'm telling you, if you like to know Jesus Christ for yourself, it ain't hard. Don't let people make you feel like, well, you know, being saved is hard. All this just a bunch of rules. No, look here. That's your perspective. First of all, there is freedom being a true believer. There is freedom. There's hope. There's joy. There's assurance. Because I don't have, look here, I don't have to deal with my problem. It's God's responsibility. Look here, if I'm a child of God, look here, it's just like a child getting ready to go out to eat, and after they ate, and their father come in, and the child says, and get the ticket, say, Daddy, here you go. Pay for the ticket. Well, Jesus Christ paid for our ticket. So whatever promise may come, all we need to do is say, hey, Daddy, here you go. You take care of this. Know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit takes place right then and there. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have God himself living inside of you. You have God himself through the Holy Spirit, yes, living in you. You know, we can tell you that God wants a relationship with you. Okay, somebody who may have been, hey, grew up in church and they did their own thing. They've been out of church for a variety of reasons. Regardless, if you end up denouncing your Christian faith, and you wanted to do what you want to do, and now you want to come back. Now you realize that you've been wrong, you've erred. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here for you. It tells us that God is married to the backslider. God does not wish for any of us to be perished, but he wants all of us to repent and accept him as Lord and Savior in our life through his son, Jesus Christ. And so with that being said, just in case you feel like giving up, don't give up. Don't give out. Like I said, Jesus Christ is here for you, and he can do it. It doesn't take him long. God can move. I'm telling you from personal experience, God can move. You know, we hear the song late in the midnight hour, God gonna turn around. Do you believe it? You have to see yourself as being victorious. Do you see yourself as being victorious? Or do you just see yourself existing? God wants us to do more than exist. He wants us to live, thrive. So I want you to know that it ain't too hard. You can give it to him as we speak. The Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. So, God, we come to you right now, God. First of all, God, forgive us, God. If there was anything we said or done or thought or felt that was unlike you, God, we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, and we receive your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. God, we thank you, Lord, for your protection right now, God, carrying us through the seen and unseen dangers, God. God, we speak right now, God, that you continue, God, to protect Dylan, God. Protect those who may be driving, those who may be in school, God. Protect them, God, right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we're speaking right now, God, that even whatever plans the devil tried to put forth, No weapon formed against us shall prosper. So, God, we speak, God, a word of encouragement, God, a word of life right now, God. And help us, God, to see you, God, flex your muscle on our behalf right now. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you right now, God, for dying for us, God. We thank you right now, God, for lifting up heavy burdens right now. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for raising up bowed down heads right now. In the name of Jesus, reveal your character, reveal your love, reveal your nature right now, God, on behalf of the believers right now. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And also, God, God, we ask you, Lord, to touch the bereaved family right now, God. Comfort them. Be with them right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we know, God, that there is nothing too hard for you. All things are possible through you, God. So, God, we thank you right now, God, for everything you've done, most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank you all for tuning in. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. I'm Brother Prater. I'm on Facebook. You can see my daily devotions, also my videos. Also, you can go to my website as well as my app. Yes, I have a mobile app. It's called Brother Prater. You can go see my daily devotions, my videos, as well as go to the calendar section where you see my personal appearances. Also, you can go to the store section of my website or app where you see my book called A Few Good Men, A Path to God the Fatherhood. I forgot the name of my book. A Few Good Men was written to inform men to the needs or their responsibilities. Also, it's not just for the men, but it's also for the women, too. Also, my next book, the book after that, it was called The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life. And it's a tribute to my sister, Sheila Prater, who is no longer with us. Unfortunately, she was killed by domestic violence. And so with that being said, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to Reconnect My Heart podcast. God bless you and good night.